email me something.
That wasn't that bad, though.
Guys, ready?
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's.
Will now be recorded.
May 2nd, 2022, regular city council meeting. If you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll note on the agenda that we last opened last week at our Open Public Meetings Act training. We've moved citizen input to the next item on our agenda in front of roll call. It was a recommendation of the trainer from the Attorney General's Office, Morgan Damrow. So is there any, I'm calling for public input tonight. Is there anyone who'd like to speak with regard to any issue to the city council? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move to roll call. And Maria Casada is, she texted me, she's in Minnesota on a business trip. So I'd entertain a motion to excuse Maria Casada from our meeting tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now if we could move to item two, the approval of our agenda tonight.
Make a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we'll move to item three, is the consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
You have a hold, oh, I have to make the motion then.
There's no motion so far.
In the consent agenda, the outback spraying release of the canage, I also noticed that the there's a award for the spray contract down below. If I wanted to talk about the canage, would down below be a proper time to talk about it or moving that out of the consent agenda?
So we would move that out of the consent agenda and we could amend our agenda to.
Well, let me clarify.
Yeah.
Really nothing we can do about what's on the consent agenda now, but for future contracts, it's questioning the amount of canage. So with discussing it at the award, prior to the award of the contract, be a better time.
Kelly, let's ask Kelly.
Yeah, so if you're not contesting, if nobody wants to discuss or debate whether to pay or release the retainage for the, you know, the contract that's already been performed, there's no objection to that, then I would leave that on the agenda.
Okay.
Bring up your concern, because your concern is more about a terms in a future contract.
Correct.
Based on prior experience.
Correct.
So I would just keep that discussion on the current contract, or the new contract that you're contemplating. Yeah.
Okay. Now I'll entertain the motion to approve our consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And let's move to our current business. And tonight, item 4A, we are having, Abner is going to give an introduction of our new IT specialist, Abner.
Hello, council. I'm excited to present our new IT specialist. His name is Trevor Salisbury. He was born and raised in Othello and has over 6 years of experience in the IT field. He graduated from Othello High School and went to CBC on a golf scholarship and continued education at Grand Canyon University, and he completed his AA there. His IT career started at level 10 as a help desk technician in Spokane, Washington. He was there for 3 years. And he comes directly from Othello School District, where he served as a Tier 1 technician for 3 years. And he's currently coaching our Othello Boys High School golf team. And it's a pleasure to have Trevor Salisbury join our amazing team here at City of Othello. So I'll give it over to Trevor.
I'm really excited to be here, seeing what Abner is implementing in our infrastructure. It's looking good. I mean, Othello wasn't as technical as we are now, and we're getting there, so it's nice to be part of this team.
Thank you, Trevor.
Welcome.
Also found out Trevor's a scratch golfer.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, item 4B is a National Day of Prayer proclamation. I'm going to read this proclamation. This is the 24th annual. Excuse me. This is the National Day of Prayer proclamation, which is this week. Whereas on April 17, 1952, the Congress of the United States approved the joint resolution to provide for setting aside an appropriate day as a national day of prayer. And whereas the National Day of Prayer has great significance for all of us as a nation. And whereas at this important time in our history, we also pray for the brave members of our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and other first responders who put themselves in harm's way to protect their fellow Americans. Now, therefore, I, Sean Logan, Mayor of Othello, do hereby proclaim Thursday, May 5th, 2022, as the National Day of Prayer in Othello, and I encourage all citizens of our community to join together in giving thanks for our many freedoms and blessings. Signed, the second day of May, 2022. The next item on our agenda is 4C, which is an increase in the OHS scholarships from the Othello Police Department. And tonight we have with us Assistant Chief David Rim. David?
Good evening. Thank you, Council, for allowing us here tonight. Before you is an agenda memo asking that the Othello Police Department increase a scholarship fund. So the Othello Police Department provides a criminal justice training class at the high school at least one semester per year. The school district has previously and continues to pay the city for the services at approximately $8,500 per year. We are on track to receive this level of funding by the end of each of this school year. Previously, council authorized that we fund two $1,000 scholarships to Othello High School students. We're requesting to increase this to four students rather than two. For four scholarships, as long as we have the revenue to support this budget increase from 2,000 to 4,000. So we've got the funding. I just wanted to make sure it's okay with you guys if we do four rather than two.
Thank you, David. Council?
So I'd like to make the motion to approve up to four $1,000 scholarships per year, conditional on adequate revenue.
Right.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to move to item 4D, which is the award of the weed spraying contract. And tonight, with that agenda item, is Terry Clements, our city's public works director.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So a little history on the weed spray. We went out in March 15th and request for proposals for purchase services. And we went to the roster, we pulled down off the roster, and we sent it out, the packets out. We gave 10 days for the packets to return. And when the date closed, we ended up with one on the proposal on the list. After talking to the mayor and staff, we decided to reject all those proposals and go out again. When we went out the second time, we went out to 190 plus people, contractors, all the contractors on the MRSC list. 10 business days went by, three individuals scheduled for site visits. The site visits were something that had to be done the people that actually came out and visited with me basically said that that was an exceptional thing because they would have never had any idea how big the area was that we were looking to do the weed spraying in, the sterilizing in. So those three individuals submitted their proposals to us for the purchase services. And as you can see on the agenda there, we have three of them. Woodland Services, Resource Services is out of Allensburg for $46,700 and the tax. Evergreen Services is $46,080 for tax. And Outback Spraying for $37,275. All of them had site visits, all of them turned their packets in, all of them had the qualifications to do what we asked to do. So, any questions?
Council?
Okay. Last year in the award of Outback Spraying, they had increased from the previous contract. And it was stated that they increased because of cost increases. I was a little shocked to see them decrease by such a high percentage this year, especially with chemicals being higher in cost or not readily available and fuel costs being as high. I guess I would ask you or Terry, are they comfortable with that? It seems like from 45 to 37.
Yeah, I asked him about that when he came in, and some of his costs have gone down. There's a piece of the sterilant that we removed, and we moved up into the scope of work to where it just be a vegetation spray instead of a sterilant. But he also passed on some of his labor costs to the city. He basically cut some of that back. He didn't have to. I don't know what that reason was. But he does want to spray for the city. Asked him if he was comfortable with that, and he said he was. And I know that he came in the last time he came in, he was higher. And I asked him what the change was, and this is what he gave me.
And he's okay with it. And this might be more at the mayor's thing. The 50% retainage, that shot over my head last year when we awarded the contract. That we had a 50% retainage. Seems like that's a healthy chunk. Is there a specific reason for the 50%?
It's part of what's
5 to 10%.
It's part of the requirement. Basically, it's 50 on a given amount of money.
Is that an MRSC requirement?
It's a state thing. I can't pull up exactly that, but this go around, he's going to put up a bond. He wants to bond for it.
Yeah, so. I think you have two options. You can
either
have the 50%.
Yeah, under a certain amount.
Okay. So
under a certain amount,
contracts,
can,
this is what they
in
do.
In lieu of a bond, you can select retainage. He's always done retainage, and it's 50%. So this time he wants to do a bond. That's what he said when I talked to him.
Makes much more sense than 20 grand.
Right?
Well, you
bought
50%
of it. I don't think
you'd
be.
You bond 100%.
I'm waiting
my turn. Then my last question, I had a few of them here, but I appreciate that. Last year we had also talked about potentially putting together or looking at more in depth the self-performance of the contract or the wheat spraying. And I want to say I have a vivid memory, but in fear of being too vivid, not being as vivid as I recall it, I thought we were going to see a proposal of what it would cost to have us do our own spraying versus a contractor.
Do I
recall that different?
I think we discussed that in budget last year.
We tried. I was shot down on it. I was told to wait until today.
Okay. So, I'm not sure we could afford. I mean, you look at this, it's 37.2. I spoke with Spencer this morning, and to hire a seasonal part-time would be $44,000 a year. Then we'd have to buy chemical, then we'd have to buy equipment, and you look at the next 3 years, this is about $111,000. If you hired a person and you bought all the equipment, bought all the chemical, you'd have over $200,000 into it. So I just don't think it's an economical purchase, or I mean, I just don't, I don't see where hiring somebody is a better option.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody with the city right now that has an applicator's license?
I don't think exactly. I know we have city employees that used to work for the East District, so that, whether they're current or not, I couldn't say that, but I know that at one time they had weed licenses.
Wasn't there something in the past that they, that only a certain company that held a certain type of certificate?
Aquatic.
For spraying around the plant.
Yeah, aquatic was our biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so last year I asked Terry if there was somebody who would like to say yes. I asked him why the city couldn't do it himself. And the only reason was the city didn't have a 500-gallon spray can. I got on the Department of Agriculture's website. Every weed sprayer that I looked at is licensed for 50-gallon and 25-gallon tanks. The city has 50-gallon tanks. The city even has a sign for the back of the gator that says City of Othello Vegetation or something like that. So I spent about 6 hours today going over numbers. I have copies of every invoice that Outback billed us last year. The last 9 springs they billed us for $350 an hour for spraying. And the rest of the year, they billed us $135 an hour for spraying. On top of that, they charged us $75 a day just to show up. So last year we paid $3,000 just for them to show up in town. Okay. I did talk to Spencer like Mary did, and we're looking for 8 months, it's $39,000, including salary and benefits. For a 12-month employee, it's $66,370. Okay? Terry said that he wants 2 employees for Tavares Park. So, and you're going to have to follow me here, because it really does make sense to hire another employee and to do the spraying ourselves. So Outback is spending 206 hours. They spent 206 hours last year spraying at 2,080 hours for a full-time employee. So if Terry was to hire a full-time employee at $66,000 an hour, which he wants, are you still want to hire 2 employees for Tavares Park?
Seasonal.
So that's 2 employees. At 2 employees, that's 40, with that 4,000. That's almost 4,200 hours. You take 200 hours out of that. And so that's $45,000 out of the budget that we budgeted for spring that can come off that $132,000 that they want for public works anyways. The equipment, the city already owns. The chemicals would have to be purchased, but it is what it is.
We're going to buy the chemicals anyway.
So the average cost of having it come spray was almost $188 an hour. That we can hire 2 employees for $19 an hour. Why would anybody pay $187 an hour when you give them for $19 an hour? It makes sense to hire the 2 employees if you need them and have them spray the city themselves.
So when you said $350 an hour, how many hours?
It was nine springs. He did 9 springs. He charged $350 an hour. He didn't charge
how many hours? Hours.
I don't. I can tell you. So November, charges for 42 hours, and I think it was the last spring.
Okay, you said 206 hours and $350. That's $70,000.
That's 70. I'd get
the numbers aren't.
The last nine springs, he charges $350. And average over the entire spring season, he averaged $187. What I saw on those last nine billings and on the finance audit committee was it seemed like he was trying to close a gap. It was supposed to be a prorated contract. And he didn't get started till late in the year. We had a quandary at the beginning of that, and he tried to close a gap to get to the end dollar of his contract. That was by appearances and not an accusation in any. The math added up that way. Mm-hmm. His hourly rate increased, and it closed that gap. I saw that too in reviewing the invoices.
So even if we were to go with a regular $135.
You said $185 an hour was his average.
$187.33.
Times 206.
Yep.
That's $38,000. And so
$38,590.
Okay, so that means he only spent $4,000 in chemical?
We paid him $45,000. He didn't get the last year. Couple of billings, he didn't get the entire because he was over contract amount.
But it doesn't make sense.
He spent more than $4,000 plus sales tax on chemical.
Invoices right here if you want to look at them.
Okay, but it doesn't add up, Corey.
I've got his invoices right here if you want to look at them.
I'm sorry, it doesn't add up.
I saw, Mayor, too, the hourly rate, whether it included chemicals or not, but that actually ties right back into my original.
You guys are trying to say question. That he spent $4,000 on chemical.
No, and I'm not going to debate your argument because it'll tie right back to my original question. How in the heck did you drop it $8,000 this year? We're losing some kind of service there.
But you can't be losing service.
I disagree.
He
did a good job this last year.
You said that you can't hire for that price. And then
much more than $4,000 in chemicals. Because if you look here through this.
You know, I don't think it really matters because the thing is we contracted with him to pay him $45,000. However, he uses his numbers to make it to that $45,000. But the mayor just said he did a good job this year.
Yeah, I'll be the first to tell you he did a really good job this year. I will be the very first to tell you that. But if you get a road, we contract for someone to do a road, and they don't spend the entire contract amount, we go in and redo that contract. What's that called?
A deductive change order or a reconciliation change order.
And we don't pay them the entire amount of the money. They don't up their fees to take every dollar that
they're per lineal foot. He upped his fees for the end. I saw the same thing last year. He upped his fees for the end to close that gap.
But
was per hour not to exceed $45,000.
Was he including the chemicals in that cost?
Yes, the last nine springs he did. But question that whether he did spend $4,000 on chemicals because you go through here and there's a this one's $56 for the chemicals. This one's $28 for chemicals, $63 for chemicals.
Okay, but Gina's point is still correct. We entered a contract with him and he did the service.
Yeah,
whether he billed it one way or another,
yeah.
Why does that matter?
But just a second.
Not to exceed.
If you look at paragraph 7, changes, it states right in that paragraph of the contract that we're going to be issuing to him that if the city determines that any changes, orders, increases, or decreases the contractor's cost at or a time for performance, the city will make equitable adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
The city will attempt in good faith to reach an agreement with the contractor on equitable adjustments. So if it's in our favor, if he was able to finish at a lower rate, then we would discuss that with them.
Well, in paragraph 3 clearly states it's a not to exceed and it's a billable by the hour. He has an hourly rate. It's a negotiated rate that is obviously discussed upon or discussed at bid time or bid or proposed, and it's a not to exceed. It's a clear understanding with those words that you're going to bill by the hour. If you go up to 50,000, you're only getting 45 once you hit that mark. But if you only
do $30,000 worth of work, that's all you're getting paid. And a good analogy is, if I pay you per lineal foot to asphalt, I'm only going to pay you per lineal foot. I'll give a good estimate of what I think it's going to take. If it comes in less, that's all you're getting paid for. Quantifiable amount. And so I caught that too last year. But my still back to my original question, we're saying that they couldn't have done it for that amount. The mayor had made the argument he couldn't have done it for that amount that you were stating, and I'm not disagreeing, or I don't have those numbers in front of me. So it's a good point to go back to $37,000. And
I think the argument's irrelevant, John. And I think, and the reason I do is because he met the contract. So whether he charged it by the hour or whether he charged it with the material,
I'm not defending this, but what Corey's saying is he cooked the books to get to $45,000.
And see, even with that, I'm not arguing that. What my point is why in the heck would we pay somebody even $135 an hour when we can get it done for $19 an hour?
Because I don't think that when you're saying 130, you're comparing 135 to 19, it's at apples to oranges. Well, because I think that 135 is including
the only one that has any numbers written down, and we asked for these numbers last year. And he's the only one to deliver anything other than...
All I'm saying is I think that 135 includes more than just the cost of labor.
I know, but I think it deserves a little bit more of an audience.
What do you mean, why?
No, what? What else does it include?
I don't know, exactly. But I just don't think that it...
Well, when you're
I think
the backhoe,
that,
you're talking about 135, this is not just a man that's operating.
It's the gas.
It's
right.
Yeah. And the fuel.
And the fuel.
But even that $120-some difference, you're not putting $120 worth of work into a gator and a spray rig. We can only charge so much back to the public for our equipment because we're not for profit. Do we have equipment rates? We can't charge retail market value for a backhoe or a spray rig. We can't charge that. We're a city. We can't. We so what you would charge $100 for, we can only charge $20, and those are fictitious numbers.
Okay, well, all right.
So we do have a better deal.
Finish your point.
We do have a better deal, and I agree with Corey. We can do it a lot cheaper. And I wish I would have seen it.
If any original in the city of Pasco sprays their own stuff, why shouldn't we?
I get where you're coming from, but my feeling on this is that we need a contract to spray for this year. We should be talking about adding personnel and all of that during budget season.
This is the excuse we had last year.
No, I don't agree.
Last year,
we're not kicking it.
No, we're going to do it this year, and we'll talk about
it. We did this last year.
Budget time come around,
right?
Okay, all right, you guys. I got to get you off your soapboxes. Can you hang on for a minute?
Yep.
John, do you have anything you want to add to this discussion? Is there anybody else? Mark?
Already good.
Okay.
I just, you know, I've gone down this road in a private business section, and I opted to hire it done. But I'm satisfied with the individual that I hired to have it done. And I just think it's too much from the private sector, too much to take on your own to do. Now, that's my opinion. So
so let's ask Terry, what do you think? You're the one that's moving your personnel around, so what do you think?
Well, when I came to work for the city, they had a couple of guys that sprayed, but they didn't get more than 2 or 3 days and then they were done. Because they had to go to other work that was in water or was in sewer. So you lost those two guys. So you lose them, and right now we're spread out so thin, it wouldn't make any difference. We wouldn't get across the city on a continual basis. Outback gets across the city every day, weekends as well. So it makes it really tough to have somebody do something and not see it finished and then have to go over and start over again and spray it again. You just don't get enough time on it because you don't have enough bodies. And there's some theme equipment that we do need if we were going to do this. The stuff that we have down there is a spot sprayer that we use on a gator, just to spot spray some stuff out at the lab, some stuff on the walk paths. But yeah, we're spread out pretty.
And another thing would be, you need a licensed person, right?
Yeah. Yes, they have to have all
that guy, and then you're back to square one trying to find somebody with an aquatic license, right?
Correct.
So I'm not so bent on who we hired to do the spraying. I'm not. But we heard the same thing last year, and, which makes sense. I'm not arguing that. You're the one boots on the ground running it, and it's operating. So I don't disagree. But I asked for something. I said, well, if you're going to say that, at least put it in writing so I can look and see if it's smoke or not. And we didn't get it. And so here we are. It's being proposed to kick that down the road. That's where I got bent and sideways. I thought, well, maybe we'll see something, and they'll say, hey, here's where you're wrong. And it would be unlikely for a council person to be less informed than the boots on the ground. We're not in the operations. Mm-hmm. That would be very likely, but I just wanted to look at it and do my diligence before I pass a yay or nay vote. And I'd like to have that. And I wouldn't be opposed to awarding this contract if I could get a promise of something justifying contracting it out versus self-performing it. Logically. So that's where I'm bent on the spray contract.
Okay. Well, anybody else?
Sean, why don't we go over the items that are under the contract, the addendum, and see if everybody's satisfied with the scope of the project and what the plan is for it. So there's gonna be sterilized bare ground areas, including the old block pound, the boneyard area, city wells, SR24, including the area under the underpass, all the way out to Bench Road, Columbia Street, 3rd to 7th, Scootney and 7th, traveling south. I mean, has anybody reviewed the list of items?
I'm not dissatisfied with the way the contract
scope will work.
So I'll make a motion, but I know we're too far in the game to push off a spray contract, which does rub me the wrong way because this happened last year. And we put the city and the weed control at jeopardy by getting it and then starting a long discussion on whether we do it. So I would make a motion to approve the contract without back spraying for the amount stated in the memo with a 60-day time frame to get some kind of proposed budget for an FTE and a spray for the city to self-perform it, so we can evaluate it. Something I thought we would have before we brought this to the table. But I would make
what you need is a cost comparison report from Terry.
I would just need a proposed budget to see, mm-hmm. to see if it's logical or not.
What committee would that fall under, Sean?
Contracts.
Streets.
Contracts.
Contracts.
Good.
Okay, so how long is your proposed contract with Outback?
It's 1 year.
No, for the 1 year. I thought it was 1 year in here.
It says 3 years. Up to three.
Oh, for 1 year.
So you can fix these costs at 37.2 for 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
With a 60-day time frame to get some kind of proposal to review for city self-performance.
So I'll just say, this should have been done. You know, the argument was made last year, the argument was made in budget time. It should have already been done.
I agree.
Quick question. The 37,275. That Outback has proposed, he knows that could be up to 3 years?
Yes, he's aware of that.
That's a heck of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm running numbers through my
head. That's why he bonded.
Well, I'm not saying the security isn't there. I'm not saying that the city's entering into a bad contract.
Or 50% of the
team. Yeah, I'm not saying that. The city isn't secure. I just I can't do that math. Let's see, a good job.
Well, he did a good job.
I'll be honest with you, he did a great job last
45
year. Probably, last year was probably the best year, in my opinion, that I've seen.
And did he get it late?
In 8 or 9 years.
Did he get it late?
But a severe drought had a lot to do with what happened last
year. And the argument that I made last year is kind of what I assumed.
Okay, well, we have a motion on the table. Is there a second?
You made the motion?
I made the motion.
For 1 year.
For 1 year. 1 year with the city's commitment to 60 days to propose put a cost proposal.
Okay, that's a separate, keep that out of the motion. Withdraw your motion.
Vote on the motion.
Okay. Just ask me to do that, okay. And I'll do that.
I'll withdraw my motion. Mm-hmm. I withdrew it.
Now, as I understand your motion, is you enter into a 1 year contract with Outback Spring.
Yes. If you withdraw that portion of
I won't do the whole motion. Okay. I'll let someone else make a motion.
I make a motion to accept the contract with Outback Spring for what's on there and the 3 year contract for what it reads.
3 years?
That's a heck of a deal.
I'll second that.
Terry, you had something you wanted to add?
No, thanks.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, if we do that, is there any reason to move forward with figuring out what
I don't think there'd be any issue with getting those numbers together so that we could be prepared in the future.
But you wouldn't need it for 3 years.
But you know, at least then we'd have the numbers when it came down to it.
But the numbers wouldn't be good.
Okay, well.
We have a motion in a second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So the motion fails. Now what?
Do you want to do a poll the votes?
Okay, yeah, for the record. Last motion, yes. Mark Snyder.
Nay. Yay.
Nay.
Okay, so motion fails 4-2. So now I'll entertain any other motion on this particular weed spraying contract.
I would make a motion to accept a contract with Outback Spring for 1 year.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mayor.
Any discussion?
Here.
Terry.
I want to let council know that Outback Spring, since he took what he did last year and went through that he's not interested in a 1 year contract with the city. It's 3 years or he's not gonna spray for the city. He made that very, very clear when I sat down and went over his numbers.
Let me say something here. Just because I'm in the same line of business, you can say I have a lot of open areas in my business, and I used to do it with my guy. It's tedious work, a lot of work. You take your guys out of what they're doing, do something that, plus you need a guy that's licensed. I pay, what's that company, Green something, whatever it's called. My daughter takes care of that. But I pay them to get it done. Because it just wipes them off my slate. That's something that really, really will weigh on the city. You know, for this kind of money, you're going to be into that or close to that, I can guarantee you, by the time you buy the chemicals, because we don't buy them in big quantities. So this guy, if he buys it for that price, if he buys it in big quantities, and he does a lot of work. So we have to be very careful when we reject a contract like this. I'm telling you, because I let it go, and I'm the kind of guy that likes to save money. You know, I'll do it for 20 bucks an hour, and I'm willing to pay somebody else to do it because of the time frame. When you have to do it, it's just tedious work. it's tough, and he knows about it. You know what I'm talking about.
So, my comment, so it was a motion and a second for 1 year. If, first of all, contractors don't get to set the terms with in contracts with the city council. City council gets to set those. So, is Evergreen Services, who is the next lowest bid? Because this discussion could come up. Is everybody you listed here able to perform the work?
Yeah, okay. Correct.
Aquatic licenses, none of that?
Correct.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second.
But it's for Outback Spring.
For Outback Spring, and if this passes and Outback Spring doesn't take the contract, then we go right back to the next lowest bidder. That's standard procedure. If they don't want to win yet. We can't let contractors come in and start dictating the contracts.
Yeah, we are the one that is issuing the contract, so.
What equipment do you
need? We have one job.
Right. The terms of the contract.
What equipment do you need to actually do?
Okay, Corey, let's just stick. We got a motion on the floor. We got to vote on the motion, or we need to withdraw the motion. So we have
got
seconds. All right. So all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Let's start with Corey. John?
Aye.
Gina?
Nay.
You first let me know the motion. Is that
1 year?
1 year.
Yeah.
Aye.
So it's 3-3 on that one.
Tie vote.
It's a tie vote.
This is just joking.
If it's a 1 year contract. Spring's got to get started. It has to get started. And it kills me to change my vote. Because I don't want to do this. I want the city to be doing it. I don't. I made it very clear last year. Very clear. But we can't be hanging out and waiting another 2 months to get spring started. We're going to end up in the same boat we did last year with weeds 6 foot high in the alley.
So the mayor can't break the tie.
Can the mayor break the tie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not awesome. Keep my mouth shut then. That's not a policy.
Wow. I'm sitting here on the fence now.
Well,
I
know. He may not accept the 1 year contract.
Yeah.
He's already informed Terry that he would.
Now we got to see that formal rejection from the contractor, and then we've got to call the city. We've got to present it.
To make sure it comes right back, because like Corey said, we're getting late.
So we're talking another week.
These couple of weeks would have been perfect for Sterling because of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Losing it.
What can I do legally? Can I? I'll just tell you what I'm thinking, Council. I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to break this back next Monday. And let's see if we can put together some numbers for next Monday on that, and then you can compare them, and then we'll come back. And if this isn't a feasible operation, doing it ourselves, then you guys consider these three contracts again. Is that okay? Can I do that?
So you'd be abstaining?
So I would abstain, which doesn't resolve the issue.
And then you would bring it back.
Bring it back.
You can do that. The I guess another potential, you want me to run through other potential scenarios?
Yes.
I guess another scenario under the circumstances based on what's been presented tonight is that you could break the tie one way or the other. If you broke it in favor of awarding the 1 year contract to Outback Spraying, then it will go to Outback Spraying and they'll either accept the contract or not. It sounds that Outback would agree up to 3 years. I would take a look at the bid packet to see if accepting the accepting or offering it for 1 year, awarding it to him for 1 year would be constitute an acceptance under the bid laws. It depends on how the bid packet was put together. And I just don't have a recollection of how that was put together right now, so I'd have to take a look at it. Or you break the tie saying no, in which case then we would take up whether it's to be awarded, the contract is to be awarded to Evergreen Services LLC, which is the next lowest bidder, even though it's nearly $9,000 more for this 1 year. But that would be those are the three options that I see. And if Outback Spraying has the ability to decline a 1 year contract at this point, and they do decline it, then we would be, if you were to break the tie in favor of Outback doing it for 1 year, if Outback declines to do it and they have the ability to decline it, then we'd be back here next week anyway, looking at deciding whether to accept the second low bid. Yeah, those are the different scenarios that I see.
So in all that, Corey, were we gonna expect something from Terry on what it costs to operate the city to do that, or what?
That should have been here. It should have been here. The amount that this has been discussed, it should have been here. But last year when we had this discussion, Terry had told us the only reason the city can't do it themselves is they didn't have a 500-gallon tank.
No, that's not true. That's absolutely not true.
I'll look at the recording.
Get it.
Hang on. So what do you got? What do you tell me, Terry?
Okay, so I think what I'm going to decide to do is I'm going to vote in favor of the motion, which awards it to Outback Spraying, and we'll find out whether he wants to do a three-year contract, or I mean a one-year contract. If he declines, then this will be in front of the council again next week. Regardless, I'll at least let you know whether he accepts it or not, and the cost comparison, I think we can have that to you next week. I would appreciate, as the mayor, if you guys had questions like this, Corey and John, I mean, you keep saying it should have been here, it should have been here. You guys have had weeks to have contacted me and said, listen, I want that cost comparison to do this at the meeting.
This was brought up last year and was also brought up.
I understand.
So but the questions were there. The questions were put there.
Okay, but we talked about it during the budget. We've talked about this a number of different times, but I mean, all you had to do was give me a call and say, hey, I want this there when we make this vote. You guys saw all this on the agenda. You saw that we talked about this a month ago or several weeks ago when we declined the vote. I mean, I would really appreciate a heads up.
I talked to you about this contract several times.
I know, but we didn't have a lengthy conversation or even a discussion about having a public works employee and what that would cost, and could you bring us the numbers and let's take a look at it and make a comparison. That conversation did not take place. So I'm fine. We're good. I'm fine with it. It's just that I'm just saying, if you wanted that as part of this discussion, I would have been happy to have done that and put that together. But that didn't happen. We're moving on, and we'll see what happens with this contract next week. So I'll keep the council informed, and let's move to item.
Well, I'd still like Kelly to check out the bid packet, because if this guy is Outback Spraying is setting the terms for 3 years when it wasn't involved in the bid package, because that makes it an annual thing he can count on for the next 3 years. So that might be why he gives the pricing that he's giving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other two, we're only looking at it as a 1 year thing, you know? See, like when spraying actually happens over the course of you know, 18 months, let's say, because you do your spraying at certain times in the spring, you're sterilizing, and then you do some more sterilizing in the fall. But in the summertime, you're running around spot spraying to kill off, you know, with you know, defoliant stuff, and just keeping up with it. Mm-hmm. But so, like, if you're rolling into the next year, he'd already been started this year if he was on a three-year contract. He would have already said, okay, I'm just going to go out and roll this one going, and get started early. And all this rain would have done great for him.
That's a good point. So, we're going to hit this late every year. The same thing's going to happen.
Yeah.
So if he's got a three-year, he knows he's got to hit it before the rain comes.
I'm just curious if the other individuals, companies that bid, were bidding on a three-year contract. Or if the term of the three-year contract was established after the low bid came in.
We have to see what they put on their bid sheet.
All right. So we have to get back to you guys on some
that's
stuff
why I'm
next,
asking
next Monday. So
need to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that.
No, I was just writing some notes down. Okay, so now we're going to move to item 4E, which is a discussion of annexation of city-owned property. And council had asked for that, and Ann has been so kind as to put some information together for the council.
Thank you. So there are multiple city-owned properties outside the city limits. Some of them, so it's an easy process for a city to annex city-owned properties when they are for a municipal purpose. Mm-hmm. And so there are some very easy ones, and there are some more difficult ones. And so I just wanted to kind of talk through the issues on those so we can get direction on which ones do we tackle now and which ones do we put off. Because if we put them all together, then any issue slows down the whole process. So it kind of depends how quickly you would want to go through this. Annexing city-owned property is pretty easy. You just pass an ordinance. You don't even need to hold a public hearing. You just pass an ordinance. There are some notifications we need to do, so we'd want to get started on those. But the city-owned properties are soon to be Tagaris Park. Will be city-owned. I'm not sure. I think that will be finished soon. The two well sites, those are would be super easy to annex. The old dog pound, I wasn't sure if we have a valid purpose for that one, so that would be a question. Same for the canal property. And then there is the little rock park and some of the right-of-way at Cemetery Road. It's shown on the map sifter as kind of conflicting, some's in, some's out. I think that'll take a little bit to untangle. And then the wastewater treatment facility, there's definitely some ownership issues there that need to be untangled. And as well as that one is not in the growth area, so there's no zoning designated. So we will need to hold a public hearing when we get to that one.
That's in the growth area? That's an oversight.
The three easy ones.
I would just prioritize them and go down the list.
Okay.
But that's really weird that the waste treatment plant's not in the growth area.
Well, it's pretty far out of town.
Yeah, we aren't planning on moving it.
Right. But then we need to figure out what's like all the property between the edge of the growth area and there. Is that should that all be part of our growth area? Because it's kind of a weird situation because it is so far out of town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in Ann's discovery too, is we had discussed this, that comment, the west half does not show on the maps if there is being owned by the city. And yet we do have a deed to it. So that means we have to go back to the county auditor to, shall we say, perfect that or have them correct their records. Maybe it's just on the assessor's part that they just don't have the record correct in their system. Mm-hmm.
And I did find that same thing with well four, that we have a deed, but the county didn't show it as us owning it. It showed the school district just owning that whole big McFarland parcel. So there are some errors. Get them cleaned up.
Who does it show owning the west half of the?
I don't know.
Para.
Para?
It's just what part of that whole big parcel.
Yeah, I just think it's a mistake, but yeah, we're going to need to resolve that. But I mean, this is what, when you start looking into stuff, this is what you discover. So.
I think it makes more sense as opposed to trying to do them all at once and it taking forever to prioritize it and go down the list. And then those ones that you've got issues with are at the bottom of the list. And by the time you get there, maybe they'll be fixed.
Okay.
I think the first five or six are easy yeses. The dog pound is our lay down yard. Mm-hmm. So that is our municipal
boneyard.
And then the contiguous part of the potholes canal right away from Main to Highway 26.
I think
that one's okay, unless that creates a whole new list of requirements that we need to do.
Does it have any of our stormwater in it?
No, it's up on the canal, on the top. So I think that we want to let, Council, you just want to get the low-hanging fruit to start with. Yeah.
As long as the Garrett's Park is in there so we can get our police department down there, just jump on that.
Got it.
And like I said, I think if you prioritize it and just work your way down, by the time you get to the bottom of the list, you probably will have, you know, at least a direction on what's going on with those.
Okay.
Well, if you want a municipal purpose for that dog pound area, if it's large enough, we could put a standpipe there. Our water line runs right next to it.
Well, isn't it? I think Terry uses that for storage.
Yeah, it's a boneyard.
But I mean, if, you know, for future building.
Isn't there power lines there now?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you centered it.
That's right.
If you centered it, you might be able to make it.
Or on the west side, yeah. Okay, so. Just let's make sure that we're clear on this consensus. Tagaris Park is our number one priority.
Yes.
Well, eight and nine.
The old dog pound. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look at, it says here it could be annexed through a different method because it abuts city limits. Okay, we'll see what the requirements are for that one. Let's just start with those five.
Okay.
And if we run into any obstacles, you can give a report to the council about that. Okay.
I will get started on those.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. So now the next item is Cowpath Bakery landscape modification, item 4F. This request, the mayor has a conflict of interest, and my stated conflict of interest is that I own this property. But so I'm going to recuse myself from the meeting at 7 p.m. and I will let Ann and the lessee of the property, Janice Baginski of Cowpath Bakery, they have a request of the city council here, a modification of the landscape. So I'm going to leave this meeting and ask that somebody come. I'm going to go back in the mayor's office and let me know when you guys are done.
So, Cowpath Bakery has asked for a modification of landscape requirements, and normally that would be a decision made by the city administrator, but as he is the property owner, that's obviously not appropriate. And so I'm bringing it to you. It just seemed awkward to have staff reviewing it, and so I thought it would be best to have you as the council.
Can we see what their proposal is?
Can you put up the site plan? So the requirement would be, the only requirement that can't be met is the street trees. And the requirement would be four trees
between the Main Street frontage and the Ninth Avenue frontage due to the length for street trees. And so the proposal instead, so that would be.
That's as the code reads now.
As the code reads now. And it does have some flexibility for approximately 75 feet apart. You know, you can modify for driveways, et cetera. In this case, it's the Main Street frontage is mostly driveways and parking, what parking there is. There's just not a lot of space based on where the building is, where the existing driveways are, where the parking is. You know, if you were starting from scratch, you would take the landscape requirements into account. You'd make it work. Here, we're dealing with a retrofit. And so the proposal is instead of putting trees along the front, the street frontage would be along the property line on that side.
You're proposing to take it off of the ninth and a divisional line between the two properties, putting trees in.
Putting the trees there.
Along with a new, nicer fence.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. And probably somewhat smaller trees than would be the medium to large trees that would be street trees. Another constraint is that Ninth Avenue does have the overhead power lines. Trees and power lines aren't a great mix. Sure.
So when did that kick in when they have to put in the big trees? At what point?
So in this case, it was triggered by the amount of work being done, the value of the work being done compared to the value of the property.
I don't quite understand having to put the big trees along the Main Street. I mean, what happens if a business like Leprechaun wants to be concerned, where are they going to put trees at?
Right.
Well, that's where she says with the retrofit, it doesn't always work.
That was my question, because that's grandfathered in.
Well, that was before this code was adopted.
It's that we're going to have to make, you know, obviously the city is going to have to make some concessions when there is a retrofit to be done, because like she can't dig up, there's driveway across most of it. There might be some area you could put a tree, but it's covered in asphalt. So I think it makes sense to put, if we want her to put some landscaping in, to put some trees in, to put it along that eastern edge where the a new fence would go, because she's got, a driveway on 9th coming in too, and a driveway coming in from Main, and there's not a lot of room in there. It just makes more sense to allow her to do it along that border, property border.
Who's her? I'm sorry.
Janice Baginski.
Hi. Oh, you're the chat pad. Oh, no. Okay. Okay, so you just kept saying her, and I was like, what's the rectangle?
It's because I know her.
All the rectangle there represents to the right of the building. Yeah,
looking.
Parking. Okay, you just haven't drawn it out? That is a single car?
That's four spots.
But that's how much room they take up on that property?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question.
Are you going to asphalt the, it says hard surface? Mm-hmm. Is that going to be an asphalt?
It's existing hard surface.
Do you want to come up with the? Sounds like maybe you have some questions for Janice. I'll let you.
Yeah, it is an existing hard surface. It's asphalt, but it's old asphalt that I think will eventually be replaced. But
yeah,
it's still existing hard surface.
But it was approved by Tim Unruh that all that hard surface we could still utilize as parking.
Okay. Can you plan on doing that?
Yes, we have our lines in there currently.
There are the streetlights already in front of this.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that would make it. Yeah, that would make it a little difficult to get trees in there too.
Right. So there's an existing point of the streetlights here, which might be a good place for a tree here, but there's a
streetlight.
Yeah, but I'm never in favor of putting trees in next to a sidewalk, because the next thing you know, the sidewalk's coming up.
That and out in the main street.
Well, that, or they have to have the really, well, you have to have those tubes in.
You look at old towns, and they've got trees planted next to their sidewalk. The damn sidewalk's like this, you know.
I think, Chris?
I'm sitting over here being terrifically confused at the moment, because I remember going through a landscaping ordinance that was a point system that allowed a lot of leeway to adjust a lot of this. And I'm confused why this isn't, and the whole purpose was to give landowners the opportunity to make good additions to landscaping, to make things look good. And I thought it was to prevent something just like this, if it could be. So I'm personally confused in my position of why does that not happen?
Because the mayor owns the property.
He made this long before then.
Yes, the points are separate from the street trees. That's a separate requirement.
Okay.
So that's part of what requirement? What code is that?
We actually have some bigger stuff. I think Dan can clear it up.
I guess I misunderstood what we did.
So for the record, for those that are listening and those that may not know, Chris Thoreau is the Planning Commission Chairman, and is very instrumental in putting these policies to place, and that's why Chris is speaking up. But I have some questions. I have a quick question that might put a lot of my attention. We had a letter come before council dated November 21st, 2021, from a local business owner regarding that property. Now, was the other Main Street property down past the taco, were they required that taco stand by Leprechaun, the next block over that brick building, it looks like a doctor's office, were they required to put trees up, or are they not in that code?
I think they've
got
dirt.
That project has been going on for years, and so I think it probably predates the code change.
Okay.
I
would think that there would be enough of a quandary if they were going to be required, and because there is tension that's been brought to my attention, I think it's even been before council. I agree with Councilman Lawless and anybody else that said it. Trees on Main Street, what in the world? Unless they're metal trees with fake LED lights on them, roots are horrible.
Well, you don't necessarily have to put big trees on it. There's some miniature trees that you can put.
No, but what I would be thinking is maybe put them in planters.
Well, back to the cow path, I think that it is a good trade to take them off of the main strips around the front of the business and put them over to the side on that border. Because if you look, all the squiggly lines are hard surface, and they've got gravel on the back part portion. I think that it would be really easy for them to put some smaller trees and a nice, there, it says they're gonna do a really nice fence along there to get rid of that chain link fence. I like it.
What was the intent in the code for the trees on Main Street? What's the intent?
Beautification.
Beautification, shade.
Okay. Has anybody else been asked to do that same task that may have not been happy about putting those trees in since that code's been in place?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
But so there will be a new project coming.
We're probably going to be revisiting this code here real shortly. And that's my guess. So.
Well, if it's a new construction on this dirt, and you put trees that are not going to block the view, and there's trees that have been beautified, I'm for it. But if they're new, they're, if you're remodeling, you got hard surface.
They have a strip.
I mean, you're not going to tear it out.
But their trees are kind of off of the sidewalk there.
So I'll entertain a motion on this, just to move the meeting along so the mayor doesn't fall asleep in his office. So I'll entertain a motion.
Well, okay, I'll make a motion to approve the modifications for the landscaping, planting 5 or 6 smaller trees along the east property line instead of 4 trees along the street frontage.
I'll second that.
That way they get the trees, that's done.
Any further discussion on it? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. And congratulations. It seems like you guys are kicking butt back down there.
Hey.
Good job.
Go get some of their pastries. They're fantastic. The pastries. Or food scare. Pastries. Oh, yeah, she does the raspberry sandwich. She does a,
We did put
rustic tart with a raspberry in it, too. That's yeah.
So,
it passed.
For the record, the mayor's rejoined the meeting. We'll be taking over the meeting.
Yes.
Sorry, you were taking the meeting.
I figured.
Yeah, here's the remote.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did that.
Okay, so back at 7:12, Mayor Sean Logan, and now we'll go to the last item on our current business, which is the rental licensing report, item 4G. And there's a, as part of this ordinance that was passed, the city is required to give, the staff is required to give the city council a report on this new ordinance. And so tonight, my understanding is Chris Doral is here from the Planning Commission. He wants to provide some information about how this has worked over the last year.
I have a copy of it. So does the council have this? Great. I'm excited to do this one because there isn't very, you know, in the day and age right now, all you ever hear is complaints and criticisms. And I have been looking at these reports month after month in awe. And I wanted to report to you all on what happened here. You know, this is some transparency and how many good things came out of it after the fact that we didn't really think were going to be an issue, but were. So, as you all remember, we passed a modest fee for rental properties about a year ago. And because it was such a low cost, compliance is decent. We still got a little ways to go, but we're working on that. But what came out of that was shocking. So if you look at the number of active applications, there's 170 total units that and of the active, there's 119. And most of these applications fail at the initial inspection, which you would think would be a bad thing. Well, it kind of showed us that there wasn't great oversight. The concerns you all had and you all stated about the safety of Othello residents are being fulfilled with that. The other aspect of this that we didn't appreciate at the time is we also were protecting landlords. I've talked to many since then, and it's amazing to me how many of them had no idea of some of the safety issues that were simply fixed by replacing a fire detector or a carbon monoxide detector that could have cost them their entire life savings. This was good. This was a good one. And you guys had the forethought and the wisdom to make this a very affordable thing. It is for the good. It ended up being for the good of our renters in Othello, their citizens in Othello, but also landlords. There ain't many win-win-wins that happen. This one is a win-win-win. And I really wanted to come in front of you publicly so everyone could hear that when these things happen, we should be probably highlighting them, being as transparent as possible, you know, when these things do, as we do when we have our failures. This one was a win-win-win. And I hope you all read those. Do they get the monthly report as well? Read those, because this was really impressive. So I can't make a recommendation for the Planning Commission because I don't think we had formal action on this.
No.
But I do want to say that I personally recommend in my position to continue with what you've done, keeping it a modest cost, keeping more people signing up, protecting our renters, which obviously needed some attention, and protecting our landlords as well. There aren't many win-wins. Let's keep this one going. Do you have any questions? Thank you all.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Now I'll go to item 5, which is our unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
So 3 or 4 weeks ago, I asked about cameras for the recycle. Have they been ordered yet? For the recycle center.
So
we have 19 committee.
We had it. Did we not? I was absent last meeting. Did we not update on the IT committee meeting results?
No, we didn't.
No.
Is that we're still here?
No, I think
he just left. Corey, I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't have my notes.
I'll call the council tomorrow.
I think they've been ordered, but I don't think everything's come in.
Okay, so what I think what happened is the chief spoke last week, and didn't he say he was going to get some particular cameras that'll work with this new system that Abner wants to order?
Mm-hmm.
But Abner, I don't think he's presented. I think he's still waiting on that company to present the final contract. So that's why I don't believe that those particular cameras have been ordered, but the ones that the chief had asked permission from the council, those have been ordered.
He brought that up in the IT committee meeting
as
well. If I had my notes, I would feel more comfortable about speaking on the results of that meeting, but I don't think the mayor's far off.
Yeah.
Was there a fire down
there today? Okay, that's another item. Okay, let's finish. Okay, so did that answer your question? I don't believe they've been ordered, but I think the chief ordered four. It was either 3 or 4 cameras. For one was for Kiwanis, one was for Lions, and the other one was for
Tigueras.
Might have been Tigueras. Rather. Okay.
But yes, you did answer my question. Thank you.
Yeah. Was it? I'll clarify that. Actually, a little fuzzy. I'll clarify that. Okay. Any other new business? You asked. There was a fire down at the.
Are we on new business?
We're still on new business. Unfinished. Oh, actually, that's we're talking about unfinished. Is there any other unfinished? Okay. Is there any new business?
Yeah. After the discussion on the Cowpath Bakery, I think that it would be pertinent for either our liaison or our commissioner shares from the commission to discuss OMC 1774050 and any other relevant.
We will definitely revisit.
Okay.
Because we thought we already addressed it.
Okay, well, I think it'd be very pertinent to discuss that and make any recommendations to the council. Any other pertinent.
Even have a plan already in place. You just might not have applied before we thought.
Okay. New business?
Yeah.
Any other new business? Oh, Yeah, Terry, there was a fire down at the cardboard recycling facility. Did you want to brief the council?
Yeah, Corey probably knows because he was down there. We were dumping cardboard containers. The first one went out early, come back. The second was supposed to go out 5 a.m. tomorrow. I basically am having a problem with the community wanting to work the covers to it to get it so high that they can throw trash in it. The first set was fine, went in, had zero. And the second set came back and I had nothing but photos of all the trash that was dumped in there because they want to wrench it open. So we were putting chains on them and locks on them to lock these things down so you couldn't get more than 4 inches in there. Cardboard, corrugated cardboard, when it's folded up, is about like that. Doesn't need to be like that, nor like that. So these were in the air. So one of the suggestions that came back from Tony, the driver, was to add another link to the side of the can inside, on the outside corner, to tie that top down. And that was to chain it through an eye and back through and put a lock on it so you couldn't work this ratchet. You couldn't get it any higher. You can drop it, but you couldn't get it any higher. It was to police the people want to throw trash in it. They want to throw bagged cans, bottles, Corona, rotisserie chicken dinners. They're all in this last go-round. So we were trying to police it. So I had mentioned something to Dan, my water guy, and he came out of the driveway as I was going in and asked him if he could go take a look at a container and see if he could add a strap to the side of it and a link so that we could tie that lid down so it couldn't be open. And I said, and it goes out tomorrow for dump, and then we're available. Well, he went on over and took a look for materials, but I didn't figure that he was going to go over and try and weld to the side of the can. So being the cardboard being pushed down and not visible from the top, we pushed it down so Tony could take it. Dan welded on the side of that and blew a hole in it, and what it caught the inside of the fire. So the fire department come down and put it out. Filled the can full of water, and fire went away.
Oops.
A mistake somewhere in there. I had talked before council, and he didn't. Most of that stuff doesn't happen that fast. And he happened to be coming out, was going in, and he went after it and wasn't intentionally. I don't think he's tall enough to see in it. But anyway, we recreated that. We conversated after that. I think that's probably the first time we set fire to our own stuff. It's not what we really want to do. No, there was nothing there. I think Tony mentioned something about there wasn't hardly any paint on the can. They grounded it out. It's probably the first time the city ladder truck had been out in years.
How did it work?
Work great.
We'll keep it. Show. It's amazing what 1,600 gallons a minute from 30 feet in the air looks like. Fill that container and let it flat.
Kind of a soggy mess, but.
Any other new business, council? Okay, having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:25 p.m.